for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, our Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, December the 27th, 1992. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the speaker of the morning. Are you ready for your Bible to be used this morning? Well, when Brother Tommy Cook comes to minister, you better have your Bible ready. See, I think I counted up about 40-some scriptures he used last night. So, and if you don't know the books of the Bible, this is a good time to learn them, because he goes from one end to the other. So, and I enjoy looking those up and find them and using the word. So it is written is our what we use in our warfare. So if you follow Brother Tommy around, you'll be able to say it is written. Okay. Well, Brother Tommy Cook, come and teach us again this morning.
Amen. Let's stand together.
Thank you, Lord. Father, again today we thank you and we praise you for this precious time together. And as we enter the word of God, we enter the word humbly. And we submit our hearts to you today, Lord. God, take us into the scriptures. Open our understanding. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. Turn to this morning to Psalms 104. 104. Psalms 104. How many thank God for his word? Amen. Psalms 104 said, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covers thyself with light. God's covering is light. As with a garment who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. If the garment here is light, how many know that our garments must be light? Because we're being clothed upon by the Lord. Isn't that right? Then we go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, and this was the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus and three apostles here on the Mount. The other nine were at the bottom trying to cast a demon out. And couldn't do it. Chapter 17, after 6 days. How many know that we're in the sixth day from Adam? And we're heading towards number seven. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up into a high mountain apart. A high mountain represents a high place in the Lord. That was a physical mountain there. But how many know God took John to a high mountain when he showed him the great truths there in the book of Revelation? Many of them. And was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white. Come on, help me. As the light. His raiment was white as the light. I believe the Lord's going to bring a people to this experience of transfiguration. Do you notice it said his face did shine as the sun? If you look in Matthew 13, we'll see this concerning his sons. Matthew 13, Jesus talks about the children here of the wicked one, but he also talks about the children of the Lord. And the word children there means sons. But look in verse 43 of Matthew 13. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Hallelujah. I mean, oh, how many want to shine brighter than what you're shining today? Amen. I think all of us do. Thank the Lord. Now, I want to give you a couple more scriptures. Go over to Isaiah now, Isaiah 60. Isaiah chapter 60, and look at a scripture there. We're looking at a few scriptures on the line here. Together, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. The scripture said, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Notice, his glory is risen upon you and upon me. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. We see it now, don't we? And gross darkness the people. But the Lord at that time shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light. I mean, no, Jesus said, you're like a city set where? On a hill that cannot be hid. He said, I'm the light of the world. And then he turns around and says, you're the light of the world. His light is within us. Now turn to Proverbs 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll look at verses 18. Yes, thanks, Peggy. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. I mean, believe we're coming to the day of the Lord. We're coming to the perfect day. And the light is shining more and more unto that day. It's a progression, isn't it, brethren? How many thank God for the light of God today? You can go back 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 years ago compared to now and thank God for the light that He's brought you into and the revelation and the truth He's given us. And so that light is going to shine unto that perfect day. And we know the day of the Lord is going to be great for those that are prepared, but it's going to be terrible to those that are not prepared. We saw there in Isaiah 60, there's a darkness and yet there's a light. Look in Joel chapter 2 here just a second. Look in Joel chapter 2. We see there is a negative and a positive here. He's talking about blowing the trumpet in Zion. In verse 2, he said, it's a day of darkness. It's a day of the Lord that's coming. It's darkness. A day of clouds and thick darkness. But then he said in verse 2, it's also as the morning. I would rather it be a morning to me than darkness, wouldn't you, brethren? Spread upon the mountains, a great people, strong, there have not been ever the like, and so forth. So there is a positive and there's a negative. Turn to Malachi. Let me give you another scripture in Malachi. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Malachi chapter, I believe it's chapter 4. Now look in chapter 4. He talks about a people here in the day of the Lord. When this day comes, that shall burn as an oven, and the proud and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. Now, another scripture talks about the stubble as the flesh. And the day cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, whether there will be root nor branch left, he says. Now, verse 2, but notice at the same time, unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. There is a positive and there is a negative. God is preparing a people for the day of the Lord. And we know there will be people that will not be prepared for that day. Isn't that right? Now go to Revelation chapter 21. We want to look at a scripture on the light here. Revelation 21. And then I want to go back to Psalms 104 a minute. Where we started. Revelation 21. And in Revelation 21, verse 9, John sees the bride, the Lamb's wife. How many thank God for the bride of Christ tonight, today? He carried me away in the Spirit. We get carried away a lot of times, and it's not always in the Spirit. Isn't that right? He got carried away in the Spirit and to this great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city. Notice the Holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. And notice what this city had. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Well, how many know when John saw in chapter 4, turn back to chapter 4 here. In chapter 4, he saw one on the throne. Remember that? And he looked like, he was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. How many believe there's a people going to rise in his image? Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Now, back in chapter 21, look at verse. There's another scripture I want here, if I can find it. Verse 20. Two. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb were the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did light it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. God's preparing a city. God's preparing a people. Now, how many know heaven's a beautiful place if you can see it today? I believe that. But I also believe that God is preparing this city, this people, as well. Amen? Now, let's go into some. Go back to 104, as I said, Psalms 104. You got to have your Bible. You got to have a lot of fingers. Hallelujah. 104. We saw that that his covering, the Lord's covering, was light here in Psalms 104. But did you notice in verse 3 it said, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot. Now we know there's the natural cloud. How many know there was a cloud of incense that went up? There's clouds of witnesses. But look in Psalm 68 a minute. Look in Psalm 68 at the cloud here. Bill sang the cloud this morning. And in Psalm 68, verse 34. You know, I've met Christians that were Christians 20, 30 years, didn't know their Bible. How many know it's time to know the Word of God? It's time to know the chapters. Come on, it's time to know the books of the Bible. It's time that we grow up in Christ. Amen? Praise God. So many have been spoon-fed too long. We need to know the Word. Now, in chapter 68, verse 34, ascribe you strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel. His strength, notice, his strength is where? Where is his strength? In the clouds. Now, notice, his strength is in the clouds. Now, look at verse 35. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power to who? His strength's in the cloud and his strength's in the people. You become the clouds as well. Hallelujah. Did you know that? Well, you are. Hallelujah. Now let's go to some scriptures, to Revelation chapter 3. Here's where we want to start the teaching now. Here. Revelation 3. How many know we're talking to the church at Sardis? Sardis means a remnant. And how many know there was a remnant in this church? It means other things too. But there was a remnant in this church that God could use. They had a name that they lived, but they were dead. How many know that's pure deception? We have a lot of names today, amen? But a lot of people are dead. I don't want to be dead. I want to be alive. How about you? I want to know Jesus. I want to be alive. And I want to be a light in the world. Hallelujah. Now look down to verse 4. He said, thou hast a few names. Many are called, come on, few are chosen. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis. You have a remnant right in Sardis, which have not defiled or soiled their garments. They don't have on soiled or dirty garments. You have a few. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Hallelujah. And he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now notice in those verses, there were a few people. They were not defiled. They didn't have defiled garments upon them. God said they are worthy. They will walk with me in white because they're overcomers. And they're clothed with white raiment. And he said, I will not blot out their name out of the book of life, but I will confess that name before my Father and before his angels. Now, we know in the scriptures, as we said in the scriptures, that there is strange apparel upon some. There are those that whose garments have been defiled. There are those who have no garments on. There are those who are actually naked Christians. We can see that in Laodicea. Now the scripture talks about dirty garments. But how many know there's a false anointing? How many know the anointing is clothing us upon? Come on, amen? The Spirit. There is a false anointing. There is a false Christ. There is a false covering. How many know that many have got off in the covering business? Let me tell you, Jesus covers us. Amen? People want a church to cover them. They want a minister to cover them. They want somebody to cover them. I want to tell you, the Lord your covering, the Spirit, Isaiah 30 says, is our covering. Now, I believe in authority. But the covering is the Lord. Let's look at it in Isaiah 30. Hallelujah. Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel. Now, they're listening to counsel, but not of the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people who put the shingle out from 8 to 5. They need to take it in. I mean, oh, we need some seasoned ministries to be counselors in this hour. We got all kind of counseling going on. A lot of it's psychology and psychiatry and everything else. It's not God, not the Holy Ghost. He said, woe to the children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my Spirit. You want man to cover? You want the Holy Ghost to cover you. Now look at this. Now look at this. This is rebellion here, of course. And he said, if you're under wrong counsel, you're under wrong covering, and notice what it's going to do. It's going to bring an addition into your life. It's sin. It's going to lead you into sin. Now look, next verse. They walk to go down into Egypt, which is the world. And God said, they have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, who's a picture of the enemy, and who trust in the shadow of the world, or Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt will be your confusion. And God's been talking to him about confusion. There is a spirit of confusion on people. How many know God's not the author of it? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Confusion is sin. If we're moving in confusion, we're in sin. Let's repent, turn to God from confusion, and turn back to faith. Amen? Or to the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we see there is a false covering. I could take you into a lot of scriptures on that. But I'll tell you, we need the Lord. Now, we saw in Revelation 3 that he said these overcomers here would walk with him and be clothed in white raiment. Turn to chapter 4 of Revelation, please. Chapter 4, verse 4. And here we see the throne. Now, the Bible talks about those who are around the throne. It talks about those who are before the throne, and it talks about those who are in the throne. Now, in chapter 4, verse 4, he said, and round about the throne were 24 seats. I'm not going to go into the number 24, but upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, and notice they're clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. I know you can teach a lot of things from the Old Testament on that, but just boil it down. Go back to chapter 3 again. Look back in chapter 3 now. Look in verse 5. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in what? And these in chapter 4, verse 4, what they're clothed in? White raiment. They are overcomers, regardless of who you see they are. They're overcomers. They're clothed in white raiment. Amen? Amen. Now, look in chapter 19 of Revelation. And as we turn to Revelation 19, I want to tell you seven things here before I read the scriptures. Number one, how many know that we're clothed because of the blood of Jesus? How many thank God for the blood of Jesus today? It said in Revelation 7, they had washed their robes in the blood, and they were made white through that blood. Hallelujah. We know the natural, if you take a garment and put it in red blood, it comes out red. But it said their garments were made white through His blood. So number one, by His blood we have His covering. Amen? Number two, there's going to be resistance when you begin to desire the covering of the Lord and to put on holy garments from of the Lord. You know, the priests could not just walk into the tabernacle any way they wanted to. They had certain garments they had to wear, and they were called holy garments. They would die if they were not properly dressed. And God in this hour is bringing out an attire for you and I. Amen? He's wanting to clothe us and get us ready for His return. And so, if you die today, how many know that you're not going to be naked? Huh? You ever seen these little angels on the wall that's half naked? How many know God don't make any naked angels? He don't make any naked angels, Brother Tromley. Now, number three, we're responsible to be clothed upon. Now, the Lord's doing it. Don't misunderstand me. But we're responsible to see that we're clothed. Number four, we know it's an ongoing process. It's a salvation process. Spirit, come on. Soul, and then later, of course, we'll receive our new body. Thank God for that. How many want to be clothed upon from heaven with that new body? And we've got to keep ourselves from defilement. Let's look in Jude just a minute. Please turn there. Jude chapter, well, one little chapter, verse 23. He said, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. So we have to keep ourselves from defilement. And then, of course, it is the anointing that's covering us. We'll get into that. And then there is the righteous deeds or the acts of the saints. Now go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. God is clothing a people. God is so good to us. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. I mean, no, she's prepared. Preparation is the name of the game, I believe, for this hour. Next verse. To her was granted that she should be arrayed or dressed in fine linen. There it is. Clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness or the righteous acts or deeds of the saints. So God is clothing His people with righteousness. Amen? Now turn with me over to Psalms 45. Get a couple things I want to look at here. Psalms 45. Let's see how this is happening. Psalms 45. Now, in Psalms 45, we see in verse 8. And how many know the Lord wants us to rend our hearts today and not just our garments? Psalms 45, verse 8. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold. That's fine gold of Ophir. Then in verse 10, notice this picture is a picture of the bride here standing in gold. Gold's his nature, his divine nature. And verse 10, notice what he said. Hearken, O daughter, consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. There's a separation here. Speaks of Abraham. Remember over in the book of Genesis. Now verse 11. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, worship thou him. Now verse 13. The king's daughter is all glorious. And Paul said there's going to be a what? A glorious church without what? Spot or wrinkle. And within, notice, she's glorious within, all glorious within. So that covering is more than just on the outside. How many know it's covering you and I within as well? Isn't that right? Her clothing is of wrought gold. Again, that speaks of his nature. Now look at this. She shall be brought to the king in raiment of what? Okay, needlework. Now we know with needlework, we know you work with the fingers. Isn't that right, women? I mean, oh, there's the apostle, there's the prophet, there's the evangelist, there's the shepherd, and there's the teacher. And with the fingers, God is doing a work of needlework. Which, what does that mean? That means they know how to stick you, right? In fact, they know when to stick you. They know how to stick you. They know where to stick you. They know whom to stick, and they know what area to stick because they're getting stuck. How many believe that? In and out, in and out, in and out. That needle's going. But but the glorious thing is, look at this now. Look at this. She is being brought to the king. So just because you're getting stuck, and I'm getting stuck, don't fret about it. Amen? We're being brought to the king. Hallelujah. And we're being brought in needlework. And he notice somebody else, the virgins, her companions are following her as well. There's a message and all that. I won't get into that. Okay, now go to Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And we want to look here in chapter 3, verse 27 or so of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, and this is not water baptism. This is a spiritual baptism. Been baptized into the Anointed One, have put on Christ. Now we know Christ in us is what? It's the hope of glory. Amen? Christ comes in us to take us into Himself. And so He said, those of you, He said, as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So if you've been baptized into Christ, He said, the proof is Christ, you're putting Christ on. You're wearing Christ or the anointing one as a garment. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus, and so forth. Now look in Romans 13 with that scripture in mind. Romans 13, God's clothing of people. Verse 11 through 14. And thou knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. I mean, oh, we're all coming out of slumber if we're waking up. You know, you look at a dead man and a sleeping man, they look alike, don't they? But one's breathing, maybe one's not. Or one's snoring, one isn't. But they look alike. They're in the same position. But he said, it's time to wake up out of sleep, church. How many believe that? Amen. Hallelujah. If you're in a dead place, get out of it. Get where there's life. Oh, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. How many know that has to do with the old man? A lot of other things. Let us put on, here it is, the put on the armor of what? Light. He's clothed with light, and he's clothing you and I with light. He's the armor. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, strife and envy, but put you on. But put you on. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And if we're not careful, we're fulfilling the latter part instead of the first part. We're making provision and not putting him on. Put on the Lord Jesus. So if you've been baptized into Christ, he said, the proof is you're putting Christ on. You're wearing him as a garment. Hallelujah. Look in Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, please. And I love these scriptures here. Isaiah chapter 52. And look at verse 1. Awake, awake. God's not sleeping, but some of us are. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the church, the holy city. There's only one holy city today, and I believe that's the church. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. I mean, no, the dust is the flesh realm. The serpent's meat, Isaiah says. So shake yourself from that dust realm. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck and so forth. But he tells us to put on those beautiful garments, holy city. Holy city. Now we see in Revelation there's a holy city. Part of the holy city is trampled down in Revelation 11. And we know a holy city today, the holy city today represents God's people. But God's telling us to put on those beautiful garments. To come out of that dust realm. Come out of that flesh realm. Time to get in the heavens. Amen? Be clothed upon with that precious anointing. Glory. Now look in Psalms 132. Psalms 132. Psalms 132. And look at verses. Look at verse 9. Talked about God's priest here. It said, let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. Then down to verse 16, I will also clothe her priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. So there is the garment of righteousness, there is the garment of salvation. Now, did you notice also in this chapter, look in verse also here of verse 13 and 14, where the Lord's talking. He said, the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. There will I dwell. I have desired it. God has designed people he's resting in. It's God's habitation. God has desired Zion. Amen. We saw last night that David took the stronghold of Zion over the Jebusites. And there is a Zion people. Revelation 14 says there's a people upon Mount Zion. They are the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. They follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. There's no guile, no deceit in their mouth. Amen. And also over in Obadiah, it says that those same saviors or deliverers shall come upon Mount Zion. Praise God. To judge the house of Esau, the house of the flesh. God has designed people that he's going to rest in. Thank you, Jesus. Now, look in Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Verses, we'll start with, I guess, verse 1 or so here. Verse 2. Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven is like unto a king which made a marriage for his son. Now the king represents the father. The son is Jesus here, I believe. And this word marriage means marriage feast. He's making a marriage feast for his son, or a banquet. And he sends his servants to go out and bid those to the wedding, and they would not come. I mean, the invitation has went out to many people. And it's going out today. And it went out to us many times, probably before we come to the Lord. But they would not come. And then he sends out again and says, tell them I prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings, and all things are ready. Just come to the marriage. I believe the marriage feast is going on now. Our relationship and fellowship with God is taking place now. And I believe, brethren, we've got to spend time with the Lord. We spend time with each other, and that's good and that's fine, but we've got to spend more time with the Lord. How many believe that today? We've got to take time out for the Lord. Now, he said they made light of it. There's a lot of things I could go on here. They made light of that. One said, I've got a farm. Another one says, I got a merchandise. Over in Luke, a guy got married, you know. So you got, What do you grow on the farm? You grow food. You got food, you got fortune, you got family. That'll keep you out of the kingdom if you're not careful. Thank God for family. Thank God for fortune. Thank God for food. How many know we can't put it ahead of God? Now, verse 6. The remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully, and they slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Here we saw in Revelation 3, those that were worthy will walk with me in white. I'll not blot out their name out of the book of life. Remember that? Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants go out. They gather the good and the bad. The wedding's furnished with guests. You know, back then when you would come into a wedding, the Jewish wedding, they would give you water to wash with and a garment to wear. And they would have their feast before the wedding. Today we have our wedding before, and then the feast usually comes afterwards. Isn't that right? And verse 11, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Now this can't be heaven. This can't be heaven. If this was heaven, how many know this man got through out of heaven? He didn't have a wedding garment on. He said to him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, few are chosen. He was thrown out because he did not have on the wedding garment. We must put on the garment of the Lord. Now look in Proverbs with me. I quoted this last time, but I want you to look at it. Chapter 28. And I want to give you two more scriptures with this one right here. Chapter 28 of Proverbs. And I want to look at verses, Proverbs. Thank you, Jesus. I believe it's 28. No, it's 29:18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That literally means where there is no prophetic vision, the people are made naked. I believe we need a prophetic vision in the church. And I believe we need prophets, apostles. We need all the ministries in the church. If you close out the prophets, how many know you close out Revelation? We need a fresh visitation. We need a fresh vision from God, a prophetic vision, so that we'll not be found naked. Now go to Revelation 16. Revelation 16. Hallelujah. And in Revelation 16, we know that in verse 13, there's uncleanness coming out, frogs, which is, speaks of the perversion, the unclean. Coming out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and false prophet, there's meanings for all of that. A false trinity. Then verse 14, there are spirits of devils or demons working miracles. You know, there are people who just want to follow miracles. Now, miracles should follow us, or signs should follow us, but many are following after miracles and signs. But you better be careful, because it may be the wrong one. But he said, these are spirits of devils working miracles which go forth to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And that's coming. I believe it's in the spirit as well as in the natural. In some areas. I don't know all the implications there, but anyway. Verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk what? Naked, and they see a shame. Now, we know in the natural there's a shame to run out here on the street naked. But think in the spirit. In the spirit, if we're naked, there is also a shame in the spiritual realm. And so God says, we must watch to keep our garments, lest we walk naked and others see our shame. Hallelujah. Turn to Revelation 3. The last church age. And it's not all bad, even though there's a lot of things here that God's dealing with this last church age on. One of the greatest promises is given in verse 21 to the last church age. I believe we're in Laodicea. I believe we're in the Laodicean church age. But notice the Lord says in verse 17, because of they're lukewarm here, it's a mixture, because thou sayest, I'm rich, increase with goods. I could put some names in there, but I won't. Need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and what else? Naked. I counsel thee, here's God's counsel, to buy me gold tried in the fire, white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear, anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. Hallelujah. You want to be clothed upon? It's going to take the fire, isn't it? You want the eyesalve, that you might have discernment, perception, revelation, insight? It's got to be put upon our eyes, not just the physical, but the inner eye. Hallelujah. To this last church age, he's talking. Don't be found naked. Now, go with me to another scripture. Go with me to Zephaniah. 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 I know you can find it real quick. Zephaniah. Right before Haggai. Chapter 1 and verse 8. Notice the last part of verse 8 here. There's a people in chapter 1, verse 8 of Zephaniah. And we're dealing in Zephaniah with the day of the Lord, by the way, quite a bit, chapter 1. But in verse 8, the latter part, he said, "And all such as are clothed with strange apparel." Yes. Now, my Martin says, "Adopted the ways of the pagans, but sent with strange apparel is those who walk in the flesh and not in the spirit." To us. Those who literally walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. That is strange apparel. But the Bible said, my Martin says, "Adopted the ways of the pagans." Well, that would apply too, I'm sure. Amen. How many want to be clothed upon with the Spirit? Amen. You know, Jesus told the disciples, remember that? He said, "Go to Jerusalem until you be endued or clothed upon from on high." Actually, that means sinking into a garment until you're clothed upon from on high with the anointing, with the Holy Spirit. Then turn to Zechariah chapter 3. Turn right to Zechariah, where you are there. Chapter 3. Here is Joshua the high priest. He's a picture of Jesus. How many know that Jesus is our high priest? And all the high priests represented were a type of the Lord. And here is Joshua. This is not the Joshua back in the book of Joshua. And you know, Joshua and the word Jesus mainly is basically almost the same word. He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. Now notice this. And Satan standing at his right hand to do something. To resist him. Now here's a man that's going to be clothed with clean garments. But there's resistance. The enemy's standing right there to resist him. How many believe that there's a people going to go into the Holy of Holies? Now, I mentioned last night the 144,000 in Revelation 14. 12 by 12 is 144, isn't it? 12 times 12 times 10 times 10 times 10 is 144,000. Now the reason I say that, because the Holy of Holies, the dimensions basically was 10 by 10 by 10. It's a Holy of Holies people going to enter into the throne room with God. And we see a picture here of man, Joshua, I believe is a picture and type of those that's going to be clothed upon. But as he's going to be clothed, there's resistance here from the enemy. And if you're going to move towards the Holy of Holies, you're going to have resistance, aren't you? You're going to have an enemy, brother, that's going to come at you. Now, notice, "And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuked thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Where was you when God got you? "Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments." I don't believe this. Jesus didn't wear filthy garments. I believe he took our sins upon him, though, you know. But I don't believe this is a picture of Jesus here. I believe it's a picture of what he's doing in us. "Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him." Now notice here, he's telling others to take those garments away. "And unto him he said, behold, I cause thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment." Now look at verse 5. Now notice how this is going to happen, verse 5. "And he said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head." This was put on the head, which is a picture and type of the mind of Christ. "So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and then clothed him with garment." The mind of Christ and the clothing go together. "And the angel of the Lord stood by, and the angel of the Lord protested to Joshua." Then verse 7. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, if thou wilt keep my charge, then and then only thou shalt judge my house." Where does it begin at first, brethren? The house of God, right? "And thou shalt keep my courts," and so forth. Verse 8. "Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows." So here's a company that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. "For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch." And there's a lot of scriptures I could show you on the branch. Notice what he says. They are men wondered at, or actually men of wonder. Actually, they are a sign or a miracle, I guess you would say, or a wonder to their generation. God says, I and the children are for signs and wonders. You ever read that in Isaiah? So he's clothing a people with his garments. Then we go to Isaiah, another scripture, I believe it's Isaiah 61. A few more scriptures here. Isaiah 60. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61, verse 2. It's actually verse 3. Speaking here of the Lord in verse 1 and 2 and verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit, come on, of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness and so forth. Garment of praise. In Isaiah 59:17, here again I believe it's speaking of the Lord, and he talks about the intercession, verse 16, verse 17, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation for his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing. Hallelujah. Then we go to Proverbs chapter 31. Chapter 31, Proverbs. Here, this is a picture of a housewife, but also the picture of the church. Chapter 31. How many know that in chapter 31, let's look at verse 10 first of all. He said, she is a virtuous woman, and her price is far above rubies. And a virtuous woman, I see several things. Number one, I see she is morally righteous. Number two, she lives right. Number two, she's industrious. She's a hard worker. Number three, she's God-fearing. And he says, notice in this verse, she's a virtuous woman. Her price is far above rubies, which means she's not in the majority. It's rare, hard to find. It's costly. It's beautiful. Amen. And he mentions that word in verse 29. Again, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. And this is a picture and type of the church. It can be a picture of a wife as well. Praise the Lord. Now look in verse 21. Look in verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow. How many know Jesus said, pray your flight be not in the what? Winter. She's not afraid of the tribulation. She's not afraid of what's coming. How many know people are fearful of the tribulation? Sure, there's going to be people die. Sure, there's going to things happen. But how many know God's going to, in Revelation 7, John saw a number come out that no man could number. Amen? How many know that there's silence in heaven for 30 minutes? What does that mean? That means all the prophetic teachers can get the charts right. 30 minutes. Most of us have to anyway. Somebody said one time, there's not going to be any women in heaven. I said, what do you mean? He said, there was silence in heaven for 30 minutes. He understood. Now, look in verse 22, I believe it is. 21? Yeah, 21. She's not afraid of the snow, for her household, for all her household are clothed. Oh, hallelujah. With scarlet. Not for scarlet today. For the blood of Jesus. I know. Verse 22. She maketh her coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk. How many know silk is costly? And purple, that's royalty. Her husband. This is Jesus. Now, I'm looking at the Lord. And of course, it can apply to other in the ministries. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Then look in verse 24. She maketh fine linen. And selleth it. Linen's a picture of righteousness. And delivereth girdles to the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. And she shall rejoice in time to come. She's not going to be hiding in a cave. She's not going to be afraid. She's going to be rejoicing in God. How many know God can keep all of us in the time to come? If we trust and believe Him. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. I believe that. Now, so let me just kind of repeat a couple of things here I've given you. Peter talks about being clothed upon with humility. There's another clothing. So there's the clothing of linen. There's the armor. The new man, of course, we're putting on Christ. Baptized into Christ. Putting on Christ. Righteousness. Salvation. Vengeance. Praise. Humility. These are all clothing of the Lord. Now let's go to Esther for about 5 or 10 minutes and we'll be through. Esther. How many love the book of Esther? I love the book of Esther. So much in this book. Praise the Lord. And people see it different ways. But I'm willing to learn. I've learned a long time ago. The more you learn, the more you realize you don't know very much. But He knows everything and He is everything. But in chapter 2, we see that in verse 8, Haggai, who's a picture to me of the Holy Spirit, can be a picture of the fivefold ministry, be a picture of many things, I suppose. We know the women is in his charge. And that's in verse 8 of chapter 2, verse 9. We see in verse 9 here that it says about concerning Esther that the maiden pleased him. I mean, no, we need to please the Holy Spirit. And she obtained kindness of him. And notice he, who's a picture of the Holy Spirit, speedily gave her things for purification. God wants a purified church. And God has provided everything, and it's within you. It's within Christ to be purified. And that includes deliverance. I said that includes deliverance. You know, deliverance is not a pretty ministry, is it? It's a messy thing. But I tell you, it works. I said it works. With such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens were meet to given to her out of the king's house, and he preferred her and her maids unto the best places of the house of women. Now, come on down to verse 12. Now, whenever a maid's turn was come to go into the king, Ahasuerus, after the had been 12 months according to the manner of women, for so were the days of their what? Purifications, accomplished to which 6 months with oil of myrrh, and that's actually oil for embalmment, or perfume for embalming. So, first of all, there's oil of myrrh. How many know that speaks of bitterness? That speaks of a lot of things. That speaks of sufferings and things you go through. And then there were 6 months with sweet odors. How many believe God has taken the people through some things to get them purified? Yes. Certainly. Notice, and with other things for the purifying of the women, here it says. Then thus, I could say a lot about that embalmment, but there of myrrh, rather, but I won't get on that. But then he said, notice in verse 13, thus came every maiden to the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of women to the king's house. And in evening she went, and on the morrow she returned to the house of the women. Then you'll notice in verse 14, the last part, the king delighted in her, that is Esther, and she was called by name. Esther had several names, of course, in her meetings. But look in verse 15 now. She comes into the king, and notice it said she required what? Nothing. She required nothing. Now, she's in the charge of Haggai. He's a picture of the Holy Spirit. How many know that he knows what we need and what we don't need? Huh? How many know that we must not question his wisdom and his judgment? His desires must become, come on, our desires. Now, again, within you and I believe we have everything that we need in Christ. I'm not saying we have it right now, but I'm saying that seed, that power, that strength of the Lord's in us to provide everything that we need. Amen? But our problem is we try to make decisions for God when God's very capable. Isn't that right? Now, let me ask you a question before I read the scriptures. How do we smell? What aroma and fragrance or incense are we putting out to others and to the Lord especially? Let's see here what it says. The king, verse 17, loved Esther above all the women. She obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head, made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all the princes and his servants, even Esther's feast, and made a release of the provinces. And so she was a beautiful lady, and the king loved her very much. Hallelujah. So what kind of aroma, what kind of fragrance are we putting out? She was clothed upon, of course, with the best, the robe of royalty. But it took the myrrh and then the sweet incense. So don't kick against the pricks, against the goads. If you're in a trial or test today, be faithful to God. He's working something in you. He's working something in me. Amen? Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today that you're clothing the people within and without. Lord, we thank you that you're mindful of every need here today, every heart, every trial, every situation people may be in today. We just ask you to touch them, Lord, and minister to them. You said no temptation has taken man but that which is common. Lord God, but you'll make a way of escape. You'll make a way that we can come through it, Lord. We thank you for the holy garments, the holy clothing that you're clothing upon us with, Lord, today. The righteousness, the anointing, the Spirit of God, our true covering. Lord, forgive us when we submitted to man and sought for man to cover us. Let us come to the Lord for His covering, His counsel, His wisdom. Clothe us, Lord. Clothe your priest for salvation. Clothe your priest with your holy garments today. We ask it in your precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.